Good evening. I invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Years ago this very week, two Calvinistic Baptist preachers were listening to the gospel being preached in a little chapel on Pice Avenue in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And the Lord was pleased to save both of them that week on this 35th anniversary. And tonight, both of those men are preaching to you. And I thank the Lord for Tim and his church. They've supported my ministry for many years and indeed sponsored me when I went to St. Lucia and needed a sponsor. And it's such a pleasure to be here with him tonight, 35 years later. And I doubt that Hart's hymn, "Come Ye Sinners," was ever sung any prettier than we heard tonight. And about 26 years ago, I heard Mike Bartram sing for the first time, and I think he's better with age. Same good songs. The longer I live, the more I appreciate old friends. I've had so many that started out with us many years ago, and we've lost some. Some left us. Some have carried their banners for the last time in the battle, and the Lord has called them on home, even recently. But I'm delighted to be here tonight with you. And I hope the Lord be pleased to meet with us who've gathered in the name of His Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I've been blessed on St. Croix to have a man to preach for me from time to time. And I think the Lord's been pleased to teach him a good number of things in the time that I've been there. I know it's made quite a difference in his preaching, both in content and in manner. But a few days he stood behind the pulpit and he said, "All over this island are men claiming to be preaching Christ. But if we all were on trial for preaching Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict us?" That weighed heavily on my heart. I spent many years in religion claiming to preach Christ. And I think that even after I learned the gospel and the Lord was pleased to save me, I know good and well I've missed it many times. A lot of times I've come out of the pulpit and realized I could have stayed home that day. A lot of times I thought I was preaching Christ and completely missed it. But I do hope that if I'm ever on trial for it, there is enough evidence to convict me. And Jesus Christ assures His ministers that those trials are coming. He says they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for My name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. And repeatedly in the book of Acts, we can show you instances in which the Lord's apostles were brought before synagogues and synods and councils and put on trial. For what? We think you're preaching Christ. On one occasion, they brought them in and they said, "We constrained you and forbade you to preach Christ. Now what are you doing?" And lo and behold, that man just gets up and preaches another message. Well, you asked him what he was doing. That's what we do. We preach Christ. Anytime the opportunity is given, what do you believe? It's Christ. We preach Christ. What do you preach? Preach Christ. And I would hope that when we are on trial, and the trials are coming, that there is enough evidence to convict us of it. The same has continued since the day of the apostles, because we read that Antichrist Babylon is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs or witnesses of Jesus. Many of our brethren have died for simply doing nothing more than what you just heard Tim James do a moment ago, and hopefully what you're going to hear me do. Religion is drunk with our blood. We are forbidden to preach Christ. And we are enticed to preach something else. And most of us could be successful at it in the eyes of the world. But I would hope that He who commanded me to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature will find me in the pulpit preaching what I'm supposed to be preaching. Paul says, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And I would hope that that is the testimony against me when I'm on trial for what I claim to have preached. And the trials are coming. And the trials are going on. What happens when today's ministers stand on trial for preaching Christ? Well, let's observe. Because now comes the first defendant. His name is Incidental Mentioner. The Antichrist says to him, "Sir, Jesus Christ declared that all the Scriptures speak of Him." He says, "And if you will search the Scriptures, you'll find they all speak of Him." And His ministers imitate His example. When beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, they expound in all the Scriptures the things concerning Jesus Christ. That's what a gospel preacher does. He goes to Genesis 1:1 and finds Christ. He goes to Genesis 1:2 and he finds Christ. He goes to Genesis chapter 2 and finds Christ. He goes to Genesis 3 and finds Christ. He goes to the books of the history. He goes into the Psalms. He looks in the Proverbs. He finds Him in the Song of Solomon. All the prophets witness and testify of Him. He's in the Gospels. He's in the Acts. He's in the Apostles. And when you close this book, the very last verse is what? It's Christ. But you, Mr. Incidental Mentioner. You had this great gift of being able to preach expositorily all through the Bible and never mention Christ unless you couldn't get around it. And we've heard you preach the doctrine of the Scriptures, and we've heard you expound the truths of God's Word, but, well, Christ was only incidentally mentioned. I find nothing in your preaching that offends me, Antichrist says. You may go, I release you. Now comes the second defendant. His name is Ecumenical Facilitator. The Antichrist says to Ecumenical Facilitator, Sir, Jesus Christ stood before us and He declared, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me. His Holy Spirit declares that there is one God and one mediator between men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And His preachers have the audacity to stand up and declare, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. But you, Mr. Ecumenical Facilitator, I have found you willing to compromise everything you believe in order to get along with others. And every time you found someone in a new religion, you tried to find something good in that religion so you could get along with them. You'd give up Christ if you could get along with others, and you did. And you did. I release you. Because you're a very useful pawn for me. Now comes the third defendant. His name is Political Activist. Antichrist says to Political Activist, You are one of the most remarkable men I ever saw in my life, Reverend. One day, the people usher Jesus into Jerusalem, throw their palm fronds before Him and say, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. They're ready to crown Him king in a moment. And you, Mr. Political Activist, in the name of God and religion and truth, the very next day have them calling for His crucifixion. What a wonder you are. Not only that, in the name of defending God, truth, and religion, you demanded that a murderer be released in the name of Jesus, in the place of Jesus Christ. And yet you claim to be a preacher of Jesus. What a wonder you are. Well, we all know you're not a preacher of Christ, and no one believes you are, no sensible person. We know you take that title, Reverend, and wear your cloth just to promote your cause, but you're useful to us, and so we let you do it. We're glad to have you do it. I am looking for the man who shuns politics. I am looking for the man who says God also has highly exalted Jesus Christ and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and you evidently are not the man. Indeed, when Jesus Christ came as King of kings and Lord of lords, you, oh wonder that you are, took the enemies of King Herod and the enemies of Pilate the procurator, who despised each other but showed them they had a common enemy in Jesus Christ, and they joined the forces together against Him. What a wonder you are. You're free to go. And I'll gladly march with you in your next political activist march as well. Now comes the fourth defendant. His name is Moral Reformer. The Antichrist says to him, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he declared that the inward part of man must be cleansed before the outward part can be cleansed. He declared that this inward cleansing was done only by His own blood. He looked at you and He described you as whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. He said, you also outwardly appear righteous to men through your moral reformation, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And I have no objection to the Jesus you preach. He's just a good moral reformer like all the others who have come down the pike. You try to get people to be good citizens. You try to get wives to be submissive to their husbands and husbands to love their wives. And you try to get fathers to quit provoking their children to wrath and children obeying their parents and servants and masters get along. Why, it's just a good get along world you're trying to get. And that's fine with us. That's fine with us. So go on out and reform these morals. Because as long as they think they can morally reform themselves into God's kingdom, they'll never see themselves as degenerate sinners in need of a Savior who does more than reform. You're free to go. And I'll be glad to speak at your next moral crusade or family life conference. Now comes the fifth defendant. His name is Sanctimonious Legalist. And Antichrist says to him, sir, a preacher of Christ declares that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one of them who believes. One of these gospel preachers who used to be an eminent lawyer in a partner in your legal practice reported of your sort that they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Well, thank you very much. Because as long as you can make men righteous, they will not be looking to Christ. By the way, that holier-than-thou attitude looks very becoming on you. And your rags of self-righteousness are always acceptable attire in my court. You may go. Now comes the sixth defendant. His name is Sabbath Enforcer. Antichrist says to Sabbath Enforcer, sir, Jesus Christ called the weary and heavy laden to come to Him. And He says, I'll give you rest for your souls. His Holy Spirit says that when men come to Christ, they enter into His Sabbath. And He tells them that when they've entered into the Sabbath of Christ, to let no man judge you regarding Sabbaths. Well, bless your heart, you love Moses far more than Christ. And you don't believe the Christ that Moses preached. And you love your law far more than God's grace. And you've told folks that rest for your soul is not enough, but rest for your body is what's important. And you tell them you get it one day of the week. And the only problem that you have is get three of it together. You can't decide what day that is. But that doesn't matter neither. And you tell folks, yes, you must judge people regarding Sabbaths. So everything God says about it, you've thrown out. You're quite a wonder yourself. Sending men away from Christ, their rest, and trying to find it in some day of the week. You're free to go, Mr. Sabbath Enforcer, and your father, sanctimonious legalist, must be very proud of you. Next comes the seventh defender. His name is Free Willer. Antichrist says to him, "Sir, Jesus Christ declares, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. His preachers declare, ah, Lord God, there is nothing too hard for you. But you come along and just preach the opposite. You claim that your Christ loves everyone alike. You say He's doing everything He can to save everybody. You say He's powerless and helpless to save or otherwise help mortals unless they exercise their free will to let Him do so. This Jesus you preach is standing, begging, wringing His hands and just wishing somebody would let Him save them of their own free will. That pathetic Christ you preach is not the omnipotent Jehovah. Furthermore, it is documented that you went to hear Jesus preach one day after He fed a few thousand people. And when He contradicted your free will and said you were not willing to come and could not come and no man could come unless the Father drew him, you got offended and walked away. I'm proud of your sort. I'm proud of your sort. And then when He got up and told you that your father is the devil and the deeds of your father you want to do, you tried to kill Him. That's commendable. That's commendable. I am not at all concerned about that helpless Christ you preach. You're free to go because I take special delight in you. Now comes the eighth defendant. His name is Baptismal Salvationist. And Antichrist says to him, "Sir, when seeking sinners come to a minister of Christ, they say, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.' And you have the audacity to say, 'That's not enough. You're not saved until you're baptized.' Christ's preachers declared that baptism is not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. But you come along and say, 'Not true.' Because the filth of the flesh is removed in baptism, and baptism is not the answer of a good conscience, but the way of getting one. Christ's preachers teach that Jesus Christ washed us from our sins in His own blood, but you say, 'Not true.' For sinners are yet unwashed until I put them in the water. Jesus Christ says regeneration of sinners is a work of His Holy Spirit, but you say, 'Not true. Men are not born again till I baptize them.' You give a whole lot of lip service to Christ and His church, but you say nothing that would make you guilty of preaching Him. You may go." Now comes the ninth defendant. His name is Proud Sectarian. Antichrist tells him, "Sir, everyone here knows you want to give lip service to Christ. Your real passion is exalting your church over all others and exalting your ecclesiastical creeds and confessions and traditions over God's Word and your true church over Christ the truth. And you're free to go. Godspeed." Now comes the tenth defendant. His name is Self-Preacher. Antichrist prepares to address him, but before he can, Self-Preacher speaks. "Sir, my name is Self-Preacher, and I'm the Archbishop of all these fellows who have come here before you today. Our motto is, we preach ourselves, not Christ Jesus the Lord." 2 Corinthians 4:5 in the Revised Standard Version. You have found fault with none of these men who have come thus far before you. And the same will be true of all the rest. I'll save you the trouble. Because everything you found acceptable with these men is true also of altar caller and charismatic confuser and faith healer and miracle worker. I'll save you the trouble. I'm their archbishop. My name is self-preacher, and we all preach ourselves. All these ministers are from the synagogue of Satan, not the church of Christ, and none is the preacher of Christ you seek. All these preachers who have stood before you thus far are exactly what you sent them to be. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Satan's ministers who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. I'll save you the trouble, Mr. Antichrist, and tell you that the man you seek is the one who preaches Jesus Christ always and only from all the Scriptures. And he has the audacity to say that these other defendants preach another Jesus, he says, and a different gospel. The man you seek is the one who says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Where is he? Thunders Antichrist. And all the above cited defendants point their fingers to that man and shout in unison, there he is! His name is Gospel Preacher. Gospel Preacher, I call you to the stand. What is your defense? When they point their finger to Gospel Preacher, I hope they're pointing to me. And you, and all the rest of you gospel preachers. I hope that when all the preachers of this world preaching a false gospel and another Jesus point their finger of accusation at the gospel preacher, I hope it's one of ours. I do. Hope it's me. Hope it's your preacher. And this is my testimony. Sir, as Paul the Apostle says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want to know among you tonight. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have no desire to know what these other offenders have declared before you and what you already know of them. They speak what they know, and I speak what I know, and I cannot speak what they know because I do not know what they know, and they do not know what I speak. We speak what we know. It suffices me to know that no one was ever saved through the gospel that they preach. It suffices me to know that the lake of fire will be thickly populated by their number and their sort. Hell will be full of people who are morally reformed, politically active, enjoying their Sabbaths, rejoicing in the law, glorying in their self-righteousness, bragging about their true church. Their Baptist conventions will have a convention every year in hell and never miss it. Never miss it. Their denominational assemblies and their synods, when they've had their last meeting on this earth, will have the next one in hell. Religious as they can be and devoid of Christ. Jesus Christ said of them,
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Indeed, sir, it is my opinion, private opinion, of course, but it is my opinion that the lowest, most damnable place in hell is reserved for this sort. This sort. Men claiming to be preachers of Christ and denying Him and preaching else. Contrary to them, I shall endeavor to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus is His name. And a good name it is. His name means Jehovah is salvation. And God His Father gave Him that name when He sent Him into this world. You shall call His name Jehovah is salvation, because He's Jesus and He will save His people from their sins. God the Father gave Him a people before the foundation of the world. Chose them in Christ. Predestined them in Christ. Presented them to Christ, and Christ accepted them in Himself before time began. Came into this world representing those people, fulfilling God's law in their place instead. And then He prays just before He dies, Father, I have kept Your word, and every one of those whom You have given to me, not one of them is lost. My name is Jesus, and I have done what I was sent to do. I preach that Jesus. I preach this Jesus, who is Jehovah my salvation and Jehovah my Savior. And I preach Him to you tonight. His name is Jesus. Christ is His title and office. It means anointed one. And He is the one anointed by God the Father to subdue the nations to Himself. God the Father has looked down from heaven and seen that the wicked have risen rebelling against Him, and said, we will not have this man to rule and reign over us. They've risen against Jehovah and against His anointed. And so the Father says, God, Son, go down and subdue them. I'm going to put you on the throne of Zion. I give you a decree. I send you forth conquering and to conquer. Now subdue the nations. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. He subdued me. I bowed the knee. Every one of us will bow the knee, either voluntarily or involuntarily, but the knee will be bowed.
Yes, sir.
And He will be owned as Jehovah Almighty, the Anointed of God. And I come to you tonight declaring to you this Christ, and I say to you, be wise, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. I preach the Christ. I preach the Anointed One. Crucified is the means by which Jesus Christ has accomplished God's eternal purpose for the salvation of His people. The sins of God's elect were laid upon Christ. He became sin for them. And on Calvary's cross, He suffered and died in their place instead to redeem them unto God. And I tell you this, Mr. Antichrist, He used your preachers to accomplish this rebellious act. He used your preachers to raise the masses against him. He used your preachers to make Herod and Pilate best of friends and nail him to a tree. And you crucified him. And in so doing, you fulfilled God's eternal purpose for the salvation of His people by the determinate counsel and predestined will of God. He's made your religion a pawn for His glory. And I preach that God. I preach this Jesus. And I realize that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Your other defendants have just amply proven that. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Therefore, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And since I'm on trial for doing so, I hope there is enough evidence to convict me. And I hope, my friend, you believe this gospel that I preach. Some wise men of opinion boast and sleep on doctrine sound. But Lord, let not my soul be lost on such enchanted ground. Oh, may my feeble aim be now to live on Him who died, and naught on earth desire to know but Jesus crucified.